So I haven't got to hear a lot of the lessons, but my topic for today is Christian endurance. And when I looked at that, it kind of, I've never really looked at it like in those two terms of Christians and endurance part. So it's been a good study for me, and part of that, the topic that I had, Bob provided me with two Bible verses that I'm going to share with you now. The first one is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And the second verse is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So really, two points to make here that you're going to hear me talk about is at the end of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus tells them to be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And also in First Peter chapter 2, verse 20, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So really, no anticlimactic ending here. This is really what I'm going to talk about. So Dwayne, would you like me to just push the button for the kids to come up? Because that's really what I'm going to talk about. I mean, what we hear in Revelation, what we hear in 1 Peter is be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently. This is the commendable before God. So Christian endurance. And I like to kind of talk about three things here this morning. Let's kind of look at some different definitions of what maybe Christian endurance is. And then look at what does the Bible tell us about Christian endurance. And then the last thing, maybe look at some examples of what some characters in the Bible or some people in the Bible endured when they had stories about them. So let's look at a definition of maybe what, and there's a lot of them I'm going to go over, of what Christian endurance means. And at any time, feel free to ask a question or a comment. That's more than welcome. And a good definition that I found is for endurance is the power of going on in spite of difficulty. Okay? Now, let's think about this. What would be some of the popular things that if we knew someone had struggles, and we've been aware of several in our own church that have had some struggles, what are some of the things that we could tell them or say to them when they're struggling to encourage them? What are some of the things we might be able to say to them? If we see them in church, or we text them, or we, you know, what are some of the things we could say?
Trust God.
Trust God. Okay. What's another one?
Somebody else has gone through this too.
And one that I used to, you know, that I always would tell my family's like, look, there's always somebody worse than you. I mean, when you think you've got things going not as good, there's somebody worse than you. Jason.
One thing we have to be careful of is a lot of times we have, as just a human habit, we want to try to fix things. We want to, and it's okay to say encouraging words, but sometimes we'll say things like, it'll be okay, it'll get better. But one thing I've noticed in my career is that sometimes we also need to acknowledge and validate to the person that, you know what you're going through right now is difficult, it is hard, and it's okay to not be okay right now.
Right.
And sometimes just giving them that space to process how they feel,
right,
versus how we believe that they feel.
Right. And sometimes with me, I just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Don't bother me. I mean, I don't want to hear it. I don't want your sympathy. I just kind of want to deal with this in my own terms. But that's how I am. I mean, it's kind of like I don't like the attention part of that. You know, like when I was sick last week, I didn't like it at all. I was ticked because I got it, because I was going through a streak, hadn't had it yet. And when I got, you know, hey, I appreciate the encouragement, but, you know, it was just like, I don't like it. I just don't like being in that situation. So one of my biggest ones that I used to use back in the day when I was a coach is, hey, suck it up, be tough. You know, what are you whining about? You know, come on, let's go. Get on with it. And that's, you know, and hey, sorry if I hurt your feelings, but that's just how it is. And, you know, sometimes those kids would respond, sometimes like, what? And then I'd go on, do my own thing. So what are some synonyms maybe that we can compare with endurance? What are some other words that are similar to endurance as Christians that we're putting up with? And there's one main one that you'll kind of pick up on through the theme of what I'm talking about today. What are some of the synonyms that we can compare to endurance?
Keep on keeping on.
Okay, that's, I had that as a popular phrase too.
Perseverance.
Yes, perseverance is the big one that I found that throughout everything I was going over, that kept coming up, and you know, along with the endurance part. What else?
Keep your eyes on the main goal.
Keep your eyes on what?
On the main goal.
Yeah, and you know what? When we're enduring types of things, and we all know that with some of those, we've all done that, we've all kind of gone through some of that, it is a distraction. I mean, to me, when I think about when you're enduring things that aren't as easy as what, you know, you're normally accustomed to, you become weak, and you're what? You're vulnerable, you know, because those are the times when, hey, guess what? I'm struggling. There's a lot of things I'm starting to doubt here. Who's with me? You know, I don't know. Just a lot of things that you can go through. When endurance is used in the Bible, it means to abide under, to bear up courageously. And, you know, and some of these things that I, when I was going through this study, it was like, you know, it's so easy to say these things. But until you really get down to it, it's not easy at all. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, I'm telling you some things that you already know. But again, I'm not in a enduring situation right now. I don't think I am. But I'm just telling you, it's hard. Those things to kind of keep talking about. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. Endurance is the act of staying strong in the face of adversity. And, you know, you can think about some things in your life that you've kind of, you know, some of us that are a little bit older, some more things that we've kind of gone through and that, you know, that I think about are my children, my grandchildren, I think about, you know, what are things like right now for us as Christians, and what are some of the things that they're going to go through? I mean, it's not going to be easy, is it? It's not. It is bearing pain, hardships, and suffering no matter how bad it seems to be. I mean, do you get to pick? Do we get to choose some of the hardships that we endure as Christians? No. I mean, I used to tell the kids that I had in high school, I go, look, you don't get to pick your parents. You don't get to pick your teachers. You don't get to pick your environment that you have at home. And I mean, what can you choose? What do you get to pick? Well, you get to pick your education. You get to pick about how important is it to you to learn, because that's what I'm going to provide you, the opportunity to learn, because there's so many things that has grown up that I didn't have control over. And there's some things that, you know, some of us need to be thankful for the situations that we do have, you know, and that we did have. And look where you're at today because of those. So different, a lot of different things that, you know, and again, I just tell you these things because it's like, hey, that keeps coming up. It's usually a negative thing. Yeah.
You get to choose your attitude.
That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, hey, you can take it for what it's worth, or, you know, with me, it was kind of like, you know, a lot of things that I went through, but, you know, I'm not going into those. But it's like, hey, you know what? I can feel sorry for myself and make everybody miserable around me, or I can, you know, get up and do something. And, you know, do make something of yourself. And, you know, like I always say, hey, you know, here everybody kind of knows my situation. But I look at those people, that kids that can't get out of a wheelchair. And I think, here I am whining about my deal, and they can't even get out of a wheelchair. And they're as happy as can be. You know, that's the thing that gets their attitude about what they like. Jason.
No, I'm not going to try to be egocentric with my generation, because I know that there's people in here that have generations before me. But just in my eyes, it really feels to me lately that the challenges that are going to be facing my boys and possibly my grandkids in the future, to me, just my eyes, seem to be a lot greater than a lot of the challenges that have faced the previous generations. I mean, even as far as, you know, the kids these days are having to literally put up with, you know, the definitions of words are changing. Definition of, you know, man, woman,
right.
Feminine, masculine. So they're actually changing those words. And I don't know if those kinds of things happened in previous generations, but
Yeah, there's different type scenarios for everything. And I mean, to me, it's like the more attention we give those that we love and kind of, you know, guard them from maybe some of the things that we know they're going to go through, and maybe even better than that is prepare them. You know, I got two of my grandsons here today. Now, do they go to church maybe every Sunday? Probably not. And that's my oldest son. And I'm just glad they're here. You know, so we've had a lot of good conversations, you know, a seven-year-old and a three-year-old. I mean, I haven't been around them a lot, but they're hilarious. And they got a great attitude. I mean, they take everything in. And just, yeah. Ben?
Your previous comments about, you know, the attitude we could have towards the tribulations we come in life just reminds me of in Acts 16 what Paul and Silas were doing when they were in prison. And Luke, when he writes it, just sort of makes it a passing comment. But, you know, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here they are in prison. You know, it probably wasn't comfortable conditions. They didn't know what the outcome of that would be. And here they're praising God and singing, and people were listening to them. And that's the thing that we could learn from, is that our attitude, people watch.
Yeah.
Do they really trust in God? Okay, here comes this trouble. What are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to mention that down, you know, later on. But you're right. Everybody's watching. Yeah, let's see how they handle this. Let's see what kind of attitude they have now. Let's see how happy they are now. Mike?
My comment kind of goes along with what you said about your grandkids and kind of Jason's. So I would ask the question, can we help prepare our children? How do we teach our children and our grandchildren to have perseverance, to have endurance?
By modeling that. I mean, it's like you can share a lot of different things with them. But you show them, and you can point things out of other people. You know, I do that sometimes. I go, look at that kid over there. Look how lucky you are.
My thought, too, was that one way that we teach them that is, number one, we don't give them everything.
Yeah.
They've got to work for things.
Right.
If you learn toughness, if you learn endurance when you're little, then you grow into it. You don't just get it whenever you're 30 years old.
Right, yeah.
You know, it has to be learned and taught like everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a process.
And it's not always fun. It's not always easy. I mean, I'm glad Karen's not up here, but, you know, I beat on my grandkids. And, I mean, I don't mean that literally, but it's just like, hey, it's a tough world out there. Come here.
It's better than the alternative.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, hey, it's not going to be easy. And I mean, you know, I'm a little different, you know, and it's just kind of like, I know what it's that like. And, you know, all of us that been around people and in school and everything else, it's like, hey, you'll thank me someday. And I mean, it's kind of a little game we play, but it's just like, I know what's out there. And we all do. We all know what's out there. Let me read Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Think about this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, which is what Emily said. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. The first question when I read this in verse 1 is, how do we have glory in tribulation? I mean, how can you look at somebody, and I know, Ben, you probably deal with this all the time, is someone that's going through a treatment and someone that's got, not the greatest prognosis of what they're going through. I mean, how do you tell them to, you know, hey, are you happy about this? Are you okay? I mean, how do we do that? How do we have glory in that? Paul.
I can't answer that question. But Peter and John in Acts, they were beaten and flogged. And they went on their way rejoicing that they've been counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And,
yeah.
And the verses you just read in Romans, it tells you that there's, you know, there's something out of it. They rejoiced in their sufferings. But I was going to say exactly about that passage is, if I was having a really hard time and someone read that passage to me, it probably wouldn't help me very much. And sometimes it's hard to see the worth of a bad time until you're out of it.
Right.
And then you can look back and say, yeah, that was
horrible. Right. And I think about, you know, enduring times we all have, and I think, and I remember, I think it was Jason that talked about this, is when you're alone, and, you know, I think that's when you think about a lot of different things. I think that's when a lot of distractions come in, and, you know, it's like you're not able to stay strong and focus on what I need to get through this. Ben?
I think a lot of it depends on your spiritual life. I say it like this, you know, it's usually pretty obvious to me people who are at least attempting to have a relationship to God versus those who don't in their response to the troubles of life. Usually people who have no interest in serving God or don't believe in God, you know, this world, that's all they got. And so their response to the troubles of life is a whole lot different because they're hanging on.
Right.
They're trying to hang on here. And others, there's, you know, this is the worst place they're ever going to be.
Right. Well, think about this. Think about the people we know that are going through struggles that aren't a Christian. I mean, I've known some of them. But again, what opportunity does that give us to go in and say, you know what?
Let's read the
Bible here. Let's talk about some situations that maybe you can think about and will help you through this. I mean, there's an opening right there for us to reach out, to, not just for us in here, but for everybody, to go to somebody that's really having a hard time and say, hey, I can help you, and let me show you how. Let me, you know, share what you've kind of gone through maybe. Dwayne?
Yeah, I think another key, a big key, is knowing.
Yeah.
To glory in tribulations, you have to know about this. And I mean, that's not just knowledge of the world. We need to know God.
Yeah.
We need to study God and Jesus and their character and make that part of our character to really be able to do that.
Right. And they may not want any part of it, but at least you tried. And I think, you know, but then you don't give up. I mean, you keep going, hey, I'm here for you. Text them, send them, you know, go see him, whatever. But the writer in Hebrews also talks about this, that the glory in tribulations is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the promise? What's he talking about?
Eternal life.
What's that?
Eternal life.
Yeah. I mean, if you, you know, and you've heard us say this before, we've all said this, is being a Christian easy? No. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would be a Christian, right? You don't have to do this, you don't have to do this. Well, everybody's a Christian. No, that's not how it works. I mean, there are certain things that are expected of us that we can use in our life that we have today. And I think that's part of it, you know. Hey, that promise is there. And some of us are getting a little closer than some people, you know. And that makes me think a little bit more about it. Say, hey, you know what? If I stay on that narrow path and I do what I need to do and I know what wrong is wrong and when I can do right and help others, hey, there's going to be a reward for me. Jason.
I like verse 37. I remember when I was in the Army, there was a time that I could run. and I used to remember running that 2-mile run. And I grew up not a great runner. And I remember one thing that used to help me, that one of the drill sergeants helped me with, was anytime I start to feel myself slow down, I just tell myself, okay, just one more quarter of a mile. I love this verse because that kind of gives that idea. Okay, can I just get through today? Just a little while. And then verse 37 says, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
It's good. And then we all know that when you talk about Christian endurance, it is usually a negative situation, right? We agree on that? But then again, there are some things maybe that I don't like dwelling on the negative. I don't like being around negative people. That's the last person I want to be around, somebody that's negative when I'm not doing well. I mean, I want somebody to pick me up, but then again, I just told you, I really don't like to be bothered. I can handle it. You know, and I shouldn't be like that. But again, it's just kind of like, hey, it's usually not a good situation. And it's usually not just one day, 2 days. It can be multiple things, multiple days, months. And, you know, I thought of Ben a lot because of all he sees all the time. And that's got to wear on you. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that. But again, what can we control when dealing with during trying times? And I think Belita hit it off was like, hey, your attitude is how you look at it. You know, do you attack it or do you let it get the most of you? I know I went to a cross-country meet with Nora and them, and we went to Pomme de Terre Dam Lake, and they had this dam that went way just straight up, and that was part of the course. And so I started asking around. I said, "So, hey, what's the philosophy here on this hill?" Because that's the first thing they did running that when they started a course. And I know, you know, Rachel and Brandon know about this. Is hey, you attack that hill, and I go, "Yeah." You don't let that hill get that dam get you. You attack it. And I told Nora, hey, get after it. Of course, Nora, you know, she's not the most aggressive person. But I go, get after it. And, I mean, that was the first thing they went through. And that was a challenge to me. So it's just kind of like, hey, you attack it. You know, well, you know, again, I can sit here and say, yeah, bring it on. I can take care of that. I can do that. But there are some times where, like, even with your own kids, you know, your own family, you endure a lot of things with them as well. Okay, any other comments? Just some brief descriptions of what a definition might involve with Christian endurance. So let's look about what does the Bible tell us about endurance and, you know, how we can maybe look at some verses to handle that. The Bible tells us, and we all know this, we must have patience. You know, it's not going to be fixed in one day. It's not going to be fixed, you know, in the short amount of time, and really that's kind of what we want. The shorter, the better. We can develop patience with the help of what? How can, if I'm telling you right now, hey, if you're going to endure, you need patience. How can you get patience? So you ask me, Mark, hey, how do I get patience? How do I do that? Anybody?
Pray about it.
Okay. What about now this? What about this right here? This is my Bible. I carry with me the Bible. You know, the Scriptures will teach us a lot of things. There's a lot of stories in there about, you know, I think of Moses, how patient he was. I mean, all the stuff he put up with. It's like, man, I'd be like tearing my hair out about say, hey, people, come on. So anyway, patience is a big one. Romans 15:4. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Then we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And hope's a big one, isn't it? We don't have hope. What do we have? Not a lot. Not much. What can we count on, or what do we need when it comes to endurance as Christians? What can we count on? We kind of mentioned some of them. The Bible, Scriptures, what else? I need Mike to pick me up every once in a while. You know, he'll call me when I'm sick and he'll leave a voicemail. Probably not the best thing. But, you know, when I had my retina surgery, I still have that recording. And, you know, hey, he made me laugh, you know. And, you know, but that's good.
Yeah, I laid on the floor.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? It's like when you're going through those times, sometimes you need to laugh. And I still have it. I was going to use it against him sometimes, but I haven't done it yet. But, you know, I go, here's my deacon calling me his own church person. Anyway, but it's like sometimes you got to make it where it's not, you know, it's not all serious. It's not, you know, the end of the world, so to speak. So anyway, again, the Holy Spirit, it's always with us if we want to be part of that. Most of the time we forget that we can get encouragement and support from other positive people that will help us to endure. And I know a lot's been said about Jay and Jan, and I look at them and say, hey, here's the best example you can look at. You know, here's two people working together, encouraging each other, you know, being strong, they're here. You know, they haven't gave up, you know, and they're not. You know, and of course, I know we've talked a lot about that, but there's a lot of us in there that have had situations where, you know what, we could have probably quit. We could have said, hey, I'm not doing that. Forget that. This is what I come to church for on Sunday? For this? Really? You know, but we don't do that. I think that's part of it. And, you know, who's the greatest example we have? Jesus. I mean, if you want to think about some of the things you're going through and you want to relate to that, he's the one. I mean, and I was going to say this at the end, but I'll say it now. I mean, I used to tell people when I'd go around and speak to different groups, it's like, you know, hey, you'll hear me whine, you'll hear me cry, you hear me complain when I read somewhere that Jesus complained about his situation. I mean, does anybody know of any place where that is? I have never found it. So it's like, hey, guess what? Why am I somebody to get up here and cry about my situation or our situation? So things to think about. Let's see. And I talked about, you know, when we're struggling, and I talked about, you know, different things, is when you're alone, isn't that when the darkest time is? I mean, how many of you ever been in the hospital at night and you're laying there in bed at night and everybody's, it's probably 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking, there's nobody around here, you know, and I'm not feeling well, I'm in the hospital for whatever situation, you kind of start feeling sorry for yourself. And that's just part of it. Then here comes the nurse, take your vitals, and well, everything changes. But again, you know what I'm saying? It's like that was a dark time for me. It's like when I was in the hospital by myself at night, and I had a lot of time to think, and I go, but then again, here would come this preacher. He'd come in, he'd read me some verses, and I had preachers come see me about every night, and I'm thinking, why do they come see me? Well, they're trying to help me. And that's kind of what I finally figured out, that, hey, guess what? If you let people help you, I think that's part of it. So, anyway, any questions or any comments further about that? Okay, here's another one, you know, what the Bible tells us. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And in Matthew 24, verse 13, endure to the end, but the one who endures to the end, like we talked about, will be saved. And enduring is not giving up. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And God gives us strength. Anybody know this verse? Philippians 4:13. What's that one? Yeah. Hey, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Who gives me that strength? Christ does. And then enduring is running with perseverance. I think of these marathons, you know, starting out. I've never ran one. Never will. But it's like you want to finish, right? You want to finish. I mean, you want to do well, but hey, guess what? I want to finish. I'm going to do it. So in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, being touched on that, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. I mean, we all have our lives, we all have our own past. And everybody's got different things. But, I mean, to me, this is encouragement. And another one in James verse chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, keep going. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And again, our attitude, how strong we are, what kind of state we are mentally, it's going to impact us in a lot of ways. And then finally, this is the last part about what the Bible tells us. In chapter 2 of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And for Paul to say that, that would be hard to say. I mean, everything he went through, everything he did or had happened to him. All right, any questions over that? Any other verses you'd like to share that were part of what the Bible tells us about enduring? Okay, I'm going to hurry up through this last part. Let's maybe look at some examples of endurance in the Bible. And would someone please read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And this will probably be the last thing that we talk about. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13.
Therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and my Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endured all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, he shall also reign with him. We shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. How far?
That's good. Thanks, Bob. So who's talking here? Who's speaking? And who's he speaking?
Timothy.
Yeah. What do you get from this after reading this? So Paul's in prison, right? He's in prison, so he's talking. We don't know how, but he's trying to do what for Timothy? What's he trying to tell Timothy?
Encourage.
Yeah. Hey, not going to be easy. You know, and was Timothy a pretty strong person? I think he was more, maybe not as outgoing or, as good of a speaker as Paul was. So basically, Paul's encouraging him. Say, hey, guess what? You know, it'd be like me in prison encouraging you to say, hey, come on, keep the faith. I can't do as much anymore. Guess what? There's people starting to doubt now. And so you've got to step up. What else? What else is going on?
I think one thing about the relationship is that Timothy's pretty young, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he's knowing, the difficulties that a young person might have, and he's just trying to bolster him to get through those.
Right. And think about the pressure Timothy was under. I mean, hey, here's my guy. I'm just the second person. He's number one. He's in prison. So that's a lot of pressure, but guess what? He kept on. Okay, what else? Anything else in there about Paul exhorting Timothy to persevere, which we kind of talked about?
Well, Paul reminds Timothy why these things, why it's important for him to endure. But look at there at verse 10. I endure all things for the sake of the elect. They may
right.
also obtain salvation.
Exactly.
Paul recognizes that he's an example. I mean, he told people previously, follow me because I follow Christ. And so he's reminding Timothy, you're enduring because there's probably someone who's looking up to you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to waver because then that impacts more than just you.
And just like, hey, there's people looking at now, okay, Paul's in jail. All right, what do you got, Timothy? How are you going to act? Are you going to run? Are you going to stick with it? You know, he's feeling pretty alone, I would think, right now. But verses 11, 13, which Bob read, makes the point that faithfulness now results in future glory with Jesus Christ because God's promises are trustworthy. They will not change, right? We agree on that? Sure. What else does Paul have some enduring circumstances for? Timothy, anything else? Hey, you're alone. People are starting to doubt. What else? What else is he challenging him with?
He told him, he said, the Lord will give you understanding. So that's where we have to reach out for that strength.
It's right.
To always be in the Lord, and which means be in the Word, listen to Him. I don't know if Timothy... I suppose Timothy was an inspired writer. Well, I know he was an inspired writer, but did he have the gift that God give it directly to him? Well, I guess the Holy Spirit did guide him through, but I think he had to learn a lot of these things
right.
himself from other people, from Paul and the other books maybe that were starting to be written.
Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift of prophecy that would have been given to him.
Right, yeah.
Paul already told him, here's what's going to happen.
Here's what you need. Miraculous gift.
Right. And when it comes down to, not knowing, it's kind of like that's when you got to act like you know. Just like Moses. Was Moses a good speaker? Nope. But what did God do for him? Well, he got asked his brother to take over. But again, you know, he didn't run from it. He accepted the challenge. And look what else happened. All right. Anybody else that really kind of had a rough, I think of Job. I mean, I'm thinking, I like to put myself sometimes in places of people that are in the Bible. And how would I react? How would I react if God says, you know what? Here's my servant, Mark. Won't you take him? And do what you want to do with him and see how he is, how he stays the faith. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know that. I don't know if I can do that. And, you know, but again, I think if I knew God had supported me, yeah, come on. And did Job have a lot of encouragement during these times?
No.
No. I mean, his wife. Hey, what did his wife tell him? Give it up. Won't you just lay down and die? It ain't worth it. You know, but Job didn't. Who else? What about Moses? We've talked about Moses. I think that Moses endured a lot. But again, I don't think God picks anybody that he doesn't think can do it. I don't think these people that we're talking about would be mentioned in the Bible if they weren't capable of doing it. We're all capable of doing a lot of different things until you get to that point. You're like, man, I did that. I can do it. I think that's part of it. Again, Peter. You know, I think about Peter sometimes. And I think about, you know, Jesus tells him, say, you know what, Peter? You've been a great servant. You followed me everywhere. You struggled with me a lot of different things. But you will deny me 3 times. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You told me, no way. I will not. I'm not going to deny you. And then guess what happens? He denied him. And I mean, Peter had to live with that. And there was a lot of people that knew that. But again, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. So those are things that I like to look at. And I know there's others. For time's sake, we're about out of time. Any comments? Any questions?
When we were talking about it takes patience, I can't help but think of, I think about God himself, or Father God, that I think about how he was able to endure. I mean, finally we had the flood, you know, but we're talking like over 1,000 years that he endured all this sinfulness, and then finally he destroyed them. But think how much he endures. Just you take yourself individually, you know, and you think, wow, you know, I mean, you're thinking, God don't strike me dead, you know,
right.
You know, and he doesn't. I mean, he works and works with us to get us to the point where we can get above our problem and our sin. And he's such an example of long suffering.
That's the part I look at. I don't think there's anything out there that we can, if we look to where we're supposed to look, to get that help. And I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your questions. So, thank you.